Okay, beginning around we're in Philippians chapter 3. We'll be picking up where we left off last time. Okay, as the Apostle Paul says here in verse 8, that's Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, he says, "Yea, doubtless." Okay, doubtless, again, what he's pointing out is beyond, being beyond all doubt. Okay, yea, doubtless, being beyond all doubt. Okay, understanding this pattern. He says, "And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." So he says here, and going back over verse 8 there, beyond doubt, beyond all doubt, he can assess these things. As concerning, okay, what we spoke of earlier there, as concerning the genealogies, okay, the genealogies of the carnal things, which will bring about fables. Okay, now, when we build upon those things of the flesh, okay, we have to, we assess things to the scales of the moral code. Okay, but when we value things according to that of the Spirit, okay, then it's on not the scale of the moral code, but on a scale of truth. Okay, so he says here, okay, on the scale of truth, okay, he says, "I count all things but loss." Okay, now he says all things as concerning the carnal things, which he brought out earlier. Okay, circumcised the eighth day, the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, okay, or that validation of his traditions, persecuting the church, okay, as to control, to dominate, or destroy. Now, touching the righteousness which is of the law, okay, which again is the moral code and the support of the precept, he says blameless. Okay, according to the rules, okay, of that of the law, okay, I attain to the measure of that righteousness. Okay, but not the righteousness which is of Christ, okay, which is the measure of his oath. So then he goes on here. Okay, but what things were gained to me as concerning that covenant and the carnal things, those that count a loss for Christ. Okay, so here he's giving us comparison here. Part of our learning is contrast. Okay, and God set contrast within this dimension in the very beginning, as you see in Genesis, okay, where he created the heavens and the earth. Okay, and also where he constructed our substance from the waters, and he constructed the waters from the light and darkness. Okay, so we see contrast right from the very beginning. From the very beginning, God set, okay, another power present, okay, which would be a challenge, okay, as concerning our choices. Okay, so the breaches of our peace right now, okay, are these gates of death. Now the gates of death are seen in that which is of contrast. And here the Apostle Paul, as he writes his epistles, okay, is showing the contrast. Okay, this is the pattern of the Spirit which he shows from the very beginning, from Genesis to Revelation. We see contrast. Okay, we see the struggles of light and darkness, okay, of truth and error, okay, of the temple of God and of the temple of Baal, okay, of the mindset of Cain to the mindset of Abel, the faith of Abel, okay, from the mindset of Esau to the faith of Jacob, okay, from the mindset of Ishmael to the faith of Isaac. Okay, so we see contrast in the very beginning. Okay, we can see that through this we're able to weigh certain temperament. Okay, but we can't weigh that temperament on the scales of the moral code, because the scale of the moral code will always lean towards our aspiration. And our aspiration is a result, okay, of our own traditions, our previous education, our associations, okay, whether it be your race or your tongue or where you're raised. Okay, all these are contributions, okay, on the scale of the moral code, okay, and we weigh things with that prejudice in mind. Okay, but we can't understand the contrast of the Spirit, okay, by the moral code. We only can't understand the contrast of the Spirit on the scale of truth. Okay, now, once the foundation of truth is laid within your heart, okay, you're no longer prejudiced, okay, by those things or conditions of the moral code. Okay, but our prejudice now is not that of man, but of God. okay, so that we begin to view things from his perspective, okay, for our salvation. So when the Apostle Paul says, yea, doubtless, he's removing the prejudice of the moral code and putting the prejudice of truth there, okay, that everything is being weighed in a scale of truth, okay, which is that which is consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. We also see from the very beginning contradiction. Okay, even in the Garden of Paradise, there was contradiction. And the contradiction of the Garden of Paradise, okay, we can see the same thing as the King Solomon said there in Ecclesiastes. And I saw in a place of the righteous, okay, in a place of righteousness, he saw also hypocrisy. Okay, even in the temple, in the temple, okay, where there was perfection, there was also the sacrifices for sins. Okay, in our own struggles, okay, we can see that our sanctification still requires a circumcision of the soul. So that in the place of the holy, okay, we can also see the expressions of sin. Okay, in the place of the holy, we see the expressions of sin. Okay, as God continues to circumcise our hearts by the work of the Spirit. So here he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost. Okay, so the presence of death is seen in these things. We brought out these things earlier, the five C's. Contrast, contradiction, contrariness, conflict, and controversy. Okay, now these five C's God created, and this is what he professed to Moses. Okay, we see that in the book of Exodus. Okay, in the book of Exodus, God speaking to Moses, okay, was setting before Moses' understanding, where God said, I create good and evil. Okay, I kill and I make alive. Okay, I wound and I heal. Okay, we see at the very beginning, God is revealing to Moses concerning this contrast, contradiction, contrariness, conflict, and controversy. Okay, that in the presence of your faith, okay, death is also present. Okay, the reason why death is present, because it keeps us focused upon the covenant. Okay, that God has provided us a form of contact with him through covenant. Now, here's where the knowledge of Christ is important. Okay, without the knowledge of Christ, there's no overcoming, because you need faith to overcome. Okay, so yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss of that old covenant, okay, and the things of the flesh, for the excellency, okay, which is, the excellency here he's talking about in verse 8, is that which is far superior in rank and power. Far superior in rank and power, okay, which is in this knowledge, now the new knowledge, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now when he says the word Christ Jesus there, he's identifying that this knowledge is for the purpose of us overcoming. Now we overcome by faith. Okay, and of course the Apostle John agrees to that in chapter 5 of 1 John. Okay, whereas the Apostle John brings the same thing out, okay, as concerning overcoming. In fact, we can turn that just for a moment there, and that's in 1 John chapter 5, around verse 5. If you want to make a note on that. You know, 1 John 5, chapter 5, or chapter 5, around verse 5. Okay, so who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Okay, that's the same language. Okay, we also see in verse 4. Okay, it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, which means the pending results of this covenant, this work within you, okay, and with his divine presence, we overcome the world. You know, we overcome three things, and the greatest one, the greatest barrier, okay, in the presence of death has to do with the works of the flesh. Okay, we have to overcome ourselves. That's the greatest barrier. And we have to overcome our previous education, traditions, associations, and mindset, okay, which prejudiced us against truth, against the kingdom of God, against his righteousness. And Satan prejudiced the minds of the Pharisees against the righteousness of Christ. Okay, by setting their own standards. Okay, and whatsoever, he goes on in verse 4, and whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Okay, overcomes the world. Okay, the thinking of the world, the system of the world, okay, the culturation of Satan. Okay, so whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Now this is the victory that overcomes the world. Okay, and the victory is in our faith. Okay. As we carry the image of God within our conscience, that has to do with our faith. Okay, when we carry the image of God, when God sees a reflection of himself and in your conscience, may he rewards you according to that reciprocation. Okay, according to your faith, be it unto you. Now that's exactly what Jesus said. According to your faith, be it unto you. Okay, so when God sees a reflection of himself within you, okay, he rewards you according to that reciprocation. Okay, so when the conscience, okay, has the presence of faith is in the conscience, then the soul is full of light. Okay, now the soul being full of light, a circumcision continues within you. Okay, as he begins to circumcise from us all things that offend God. Okay, so the soul being full of light, okay, God is able to circumcise the soul. Okay, another point here, he says, the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, by which we overcome. He's talking about a new form of thinking. Okay, we have to be educated to the things of the kingdom of God, okay, in order for us to serve him. Okay, you can't, the service of God is not possible through ignorance. Okay, there may be certain forms of acknowledgement of the presence of God or the creation of God, okay, or observing a testimony. Okay, what we're talking about in service of your priesthood. Okay. Now, when Moses gave Aaron the pattern for the temple, he also had to share with Aaron, his brother, okay, concerning his responsibilities. Okay. Now, the stewardship had to share with the priesthood the responsibilities for this form of engagement, that Aaron just didn't skip and hop in there and perform something that was just what he felt was convenient for himself. Okay, he had to do everything, okay, by protocol, by the protocol of the kingdom of God. Okay, which required washings and sprinklings. Okay, the sprinkling of blood, the washing of the water, the downing of the garments. Okay, he had all the priestly vestments had to be in proper order. Okay, and his manner of approach, okay, could not be with, okay, the pride of man, but it had to be the humbleness of heart. Okay, to approach the altar of the Lord with a proud heart, okay, is to incur his wrath. Okay, if we can see, this is what happened to Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Even while they were carrying the ark of the Lord, okay, they're carrying the ark of the Lord to assist their aspiration, okay, and overcoming their enemies, the Philistines. The people's confidence was in, okay, was within this carnal object. Okay, it had nothing to do with faith. And when the presence of the angel did not see faith within their hearts, okay, and that they used the things of the Lord for their own aspiration, okay, they lost their lives. The Lord destroyed them. Okay, because that was a defiled priesthood. Okay, even though Hophni and Phinehas, okay, were the children of Eli, who was a high priest, okay, yet their hearts were full of mischief, okay, and guile, okay, and pride. So the knowledge of God, okay, here it says in verse 8, the knowledge of Christ being the foundation of the heart, and okay, now the conscience can manifest that faith. Manifesting the faith, okay, the faith of God within the conscience. Okay, with this we receive that title, now are ye the sons of God. Okay, and the Apostle John says the same thing. Okay, in 1 John chapter 3. Beloved, now are you the sons of God. Okay, now, but he was making a statement to those who were under his stewardship. Okay, this was not a general statement made to the general public. Okay, this was not on a public broadcasting system, okay, coming over your television set. Okay, as somebody saying, beloved, now are you the sons of God. Okay, publicly broadcast to the general public. It wasn't that manner at all. Okay, it was those under his immediate stewardship and priesthood. So under the stewardship and priesthood, okay, of the Apostle John and also under Paul, okay, they had that title, now are you the sons of God. We carry the testimony of God within our heart. Okay, and this is manifested through your priesthood. So he says, this is the excellency, the surpassing rank, which makes us sons of God. Okay, so that for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. So when he says the word my Lord there, we're talking about identifying the rules of his kingdom. A king has a kingdom, okay, and he is Lord over that. The kingdom which he rules, okay, follows his oath. So the servants of the king behave according to the laws of the king. Okay, their behavior identifies them with a particular kingdom. Okay, even their dress. Okay, the garments. Okay, there are specific things that identify you with a particular town. Okay, or a particular country. Okay, your passport carries. Okay, a particular it has an emblem. Okay, and there's certain knowledge in there that identifies you with a particular nation or kingdom. Okay, now God has set his token within us that identifies us with his kingdom, a token. And of course, the Apostle Paul brings it out in Ephesians 1, if you want to turn there for a moment. Okay, that we should be the praise of his glory. Now, in Ephesians 1, as we carry this token within us, this is to bring us into that perfection, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, the perfection of spirit, soul, and body. Okay, as long as the faith of God is present, okay, you are accepted, okay, according to the image. Okay, but if faith isn't within the heart, then there's nothing for God to accept, because God will not accept anything that's less than himself. Okay, as he also said in Romans 5. Okay, but let's look at this one first. That we should be to the praise of his glory. Now that's in Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Okay, now when he says here, trusted in Christ, he's talking about this is what we're building with and rejoicing in. In fact, that's where he brings out verse 1 of chapter 3 of Philippians with. Okay, that we should be to the praise of his glory. Okay, the virtue of his work within us. Okay, is continue to circumcise our hearts, that we will continue to reflect him perfectly. Now in verse 13, and this is in Ephesians 1:13, in whom you also trusted. Now the word trusted there, even though it's in italics, yet it fits within the thought here as concerning that a relationship is built through contact. Okay, a relationship is built with contact. Okay, now with this contact, okay, there are certain things, okay, or certain liberties, okay, that are manifested through this form of contact. Okay, now the liberties, as we now find a new liberty in Christ. Okay, these liberties, they are issued according to your behavior and your growth rate. Okay, we see this also in 1 John. When the Apostle John says, "Little children, I write to you, little children, because their sins are forgiven you for his namesake," you can see that there are certain liberties that they don't understand yet, okay, but yet God is long-suffering with them within each cycle of growth and each level of growth according to the growth of their progression. Okay, even as a farmer patiently waits for the fruit of the field, so the Lord also patiently waits in an expectation, okay, of our consistency. Okay, the three C's are here: consistency, conformity, and communication. Okay, our consistency must be on the terms of his covenant, okay, as our behavior is ordered by the terms of the covenant. Okay, consistency, and we continue to conform, okay, as we continue to take on the yoke of Christ. And that's what Jesus said: "Learn of me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me." Okay, because only those that are proud of heart will never see me. Okay, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Okay. That means my knowledge does not address the pride of man. My knowledge does not address is concerning his social status. My knowledge does not address nor confirm man's achievement. Okay. So take my yoke upon you and learn of me, from meek and lowly in heart. Okay. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Because your soul will no longer struggle for points of identification, memorial, or heritage in this dimension. Okay, but rather in me. That's what God is saying. In me. So that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted. Our relationship is forged through contact. Okay, just like beating a piece of hot metal, okay, on an anvil with a hammer. Okay, through constant contact. The hot metal, the steel, okay, or the iron, while it's hot, starts taking on a new form. And that's what takes, and this is what we do within our own soul. This is what the Holy Ghost does within us. The token that he set within us, okay, is going to use the beating, the smiting, the suffering, the presence of death, okay, with, well, as long as he's present there, to mold our new thinking and perspective. Okay, contrast, controversy, contradiction, conflict. Okay, you can see the five C's in that. Okay, that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Now, as Jesus suffered, we also suffer. Okay, remaining within the restrictions of the knowledge of this kingdom, okay, Jesus did not officiate things of his own accord, okay, for his own honor, as Paul brings out in Philippians. Okay, in Philippians chapter 2 there, okay, though he was in Philippians 3, okay, where he brings that out, of course, in Philippians 2 and 3. Okay, whereas regards, though he's in the form of man, okay, yet also he was, I'm going back over here in this other side here, chapter 2. Okay, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. Okay, so here he remained within these restrictions of this covenant in order to provide a pattern and record for us, for our faith. Okay, but in Romans chapter 5, which I brought out just momentarily, earlier, okay, in Romans chapter 5, we can see the Apostle Paul said the same thing. Okay, and you'll see this around verse 11. Okay, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, but in verse 10, he says, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. Okay, so we see the presence of death, and we see the presence of life. Okay, even though they occupy the same space, okay, yet the results, but the results of this has to do with as being life from the dead, okay, alive again from the dead. And not only so, but you also joy in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Okay, now I'm going back to Philippians. And let's see here. Okay, in verse 8. And we're still there. So yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, those things of that first covenant and all those carnal things. Okay, for this surpassing knowledge that enriches the soul and by which we overcome. From whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now I went on the word suffered loss. Okay, that's the presence of death in a God code. Okay, so even though we in this dimension and the presence of death is in this dimension, yet we can see that the Spirit of the Lord can increase in us even though our body dies. Okay, our body is aging and yet we're increasing at the same time. Okay, that's like putting fire in the midst of water, or water in the midst of fire. Okay, so even though these are contrary, okay, yet we can see that the presence of them both in the same area are necessary, okay, for a testimony. Okay, this is that being the testimony of God. Okay, so here he goes on. I do whom I suffer the loss of all things. Okay, the aspirations which I could. Those things which my ambition worked with under that first covenant, I began to realize, as Paul's saying right here, and we all of us experience the same thing, that these were the works of death. So he says here, and do count them but dung. So now he's setting everything in his proper perspective, okay, because the presence of death is on those things, that I may win Christ. That is, that I may win Christ, and as to see his eternal virtue within us, okay, by which we overcome. Okay, we overcome by this virtue being formed within us. Okay, as he removes the power of sin in the flesh. Okay, as he's circumcising our heart. Okay, but the circumcision of the heart cannot take place unless there's faith in the conscience. Okay, and then he's removing those things that offend God. Okay, verse 9. And be found in him, Okay, that means being found in him, also under his presence. Okay, because the presence of the Lord is our shield. Okay, we can take confidence in that. By the presence of the Lord, he is our shield. So I'll be found in him, not having my own righteousness, being the scale of the moral code again, supported by precept. Okay, which is of the law. So you might want to highlight the word law there. Okay, the law of the moral code. The law of Moses addresses only the moral code, the struggles of the moral code. Okay, but the law was not the righteousness of God. It was just the righteousness of the law. Okay. It tethered the behavior, okay, of the Jews, okay, to that form or system. Okay, but they only can escape that by faith. Okay, and we can see this manifested numerous times throughout the Old Testament, okay, where God used faith to express that. Okay, through his vessels of honor, he expressed faith. That faith was expressed through the vessels of honor, okay, to show the weakness of the law. And of course, Paul talks about those struggles, okay, in the book of the book of Romans. Okay, but we can see these things, okay, the struggles in contrast, okay, with Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David, and David also and Samuel and all the prophets, okay, because all the prophets spoke by the Spirit. Okay, we can see this also in the behavior of Isaiah, and also the behavior of Jeremiah, okay, and the behavior of Hosea. Okay, that it was that of the Spirit which superseded that of the law. We can also see that in Jesus, because he fulfilled all the law and the prophets in himself. Okay, as we walk through the fields on a Sabbath day, healing on a Sabbath day, forgiving a woman taken in adultery, which by the law she should have been stoned. Okay. But again, we can see that the Spirit supersedes the law by faith in him. Okay, by faith in him, okay, that which is the Spirit supersedes that with the law, because the law was weak, okay, and that it was in the flesh. But the Spirit was power because it was in Christ. So that's why we're tethered to him. Okay, by faith, we're tethered to him, which is more powerful than that which is of the flesh, the law. Okay, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Now, you might want to highlight the word the faith there in verse 9. Because when we say we have the three manifestations of faith, okay, we'll see a second one here in a moment. Okay, but we see the faith, and the gift of faith. Okay, so we see when he says the word we overcome by faith, he's talking about that which addresses the fruit, which is being nurtured within you. When he talks about as concerning through the faith, he's talking about the doctrine of Christ, okay, the knowledge of God, truth. Okay. And then we also can see that the Lord has also made certain references to the gift of faith, okay, as concerning certain events in one's life. Okay, when Abraham departed from his father's house, we see the gift of faith there. That wasn't the fruit of faith; that was the gift of faith. Okay, we can see also in the areas which I just mentioned there, concerning Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, Moses. Okay, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, okay, Noah, and Abel. We see the gift of faith manifesting in these particular events in their lives, okay, because they were nurturing the knowledge of God and they're reciprocating that knowledge of God. The Spirit of God sustained them in the most adverse circumstances, most being like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being cast in the midst of burning fire furnace, okay, or Daniel being cast into a dungeon full of lions, hungry lions. Jesus walking on the water. Moses opening the Red Sea. As a few examples of that. Jesus multiplying the bread and raising the dead. Okay, the gift of faith is present because the gift of faith addresses certain events, while the fruit of faith represents the consistency, okay, that you're exhibiting with your choices of life. Okay, you're exhibiting certain choices of life by this knowledge, okay, that you're willfully yielding your will to this knowledge to build with God. And through this, he's revealing himself, okay, so that we may know him. Now, we know him through the priesthood, okay, which God has assigned for our faith to grow, be expressed with, and to grow by. Now, your priesthood. Okay, that the vestments of your priesthood is the armor which you... By which we overcome ourselves, Satan, and the world. Okay? So take on the whole armor of God, okay, and stand at the altar. the altar of our priesthood, which is Christ, so that I may know him. He says that in verse 10. But here we just so highlight the word the faith there in verse 9 and by faith there in verse 9. So we see again manifestations. Okay, when Paul says the faith, he's talking about the knowledge, and when he says by faith, he's talking about that fruit which is being nurtured within us because of your choice of will, building on the knowledge, reciprocation, okay, and charity, communication of charity, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so here we see that same commandment which was since the beginning given to all those that would serve him in the priesthood which God sanctified for them to express him with. Okay, we are to love him through these things, keeping his commandments. So if you love God, keep his commandments. To love God with all your heart, okay, which has to be that which is faith. Okay, with all your soul, which is the will to serve. With all your mind, which is the study of doctrine. And with all your strength, which has to do, again, with your form of activity in your priesthood, sacrifices. Okay, and by this, we love our neighbor as ourselves. That love knows, works no ill towards his neighbor because all of us are contributing to one wall, to one house, to one kingdom. Okay. Verse 10. So that I may know him, right, so that our fellowship, this new communion of fellowship, begins to unfold the mystery of Christ within us. And that's what Paul brings out in their Ephesians, that is concerning Christ in you, the hope of glory, okay, and also in Colossians. So that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So you also might underline the word power or highlight the word power or underline that, but also over the word power, put the word angel. Okay, angel. Because this is the power that's now confirming a new tethering, a new record. Okay, the angel of the Lord is tethering us to this new record. Now, as Abraham listened to the angel of the Lord, it tethered him to the record of God. We also do the same thing, which makes us children of Abraham. Okay, the angel of the Lord, okay, as the Apostle Paul writes in Hebrews, are they not all ministering spirits? Send forth the minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Okay, we build upon this testimony, okay, as he also brings out in Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, Hebrews 2, 1, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to things which we have heard by this tethering and tutorage. Thus, at any time, we should let them slip away. Okay? And by letting them slip away, we lose sight. Okay? Our sight of these spiritual things begins to diminish. Okay, if we allow the tethering and this tutorage of the Spirit begin to grow weak. So that's why it's important that we continue to apply ourselves to prayer. Prayer is the most essential thing. Okay, and it's part of your armor. Okay, praying with all prayer, okay, for all saints. Now he says that also in Ephesians, doesn't he? Ephesians chapter 6. Okay, and watching out there too for all the saints there. All right, in Ephesians 6, around verse 14, and also verse 18, from there, from 14 to 18. We see what the armor of God is, the vestments of our priesthood, by which we stand at the altar. Okay, we overcome ourselves. Okay, we overcome ourselves, Satan, and the world. Now, overcoming yourself, like I said, is the greatest barrier. Yourself is your greatest barrier. Because remember, you have been prejudiced being born in the kingdom of darkness. Okay, as soon as we're born in this kingdom of darkness, in the form of the flesh, okay, we took on a certain perspective of survival. Okay, and everything... Okay, that survival mentality. The survival mentality was the very hub of our existence. Okay, and now when God begins to pry your hands off that hub of existence and survival onto His kingdom and faith, okay, the word pry there is you can say identifies that feeling and fear of loss, doesn't it? We don't want to lose something which we have confidence in. Because we build a reputation around the flesh. God says, I don't want you to build a reputation around the flesh any longer. I want you to build a reputation around my kingdom, my throne, my spirit. Okay. So that if you build your reputation around my throne, now you're the citizens of heaven. But if you build a reputation around your race, around your tongue, around your country, around your people, around your nation, okay, if you build around those things which are perishable, you'll perish with them. Okay? So we build a confidence philosophy, okay, around those things, and we were very confident with it. Okay? And with that, we would express ourselves. We want to control, the dominate, destroy by. See, our God code worked with the moral code. Okay, and those things which work death. Okay, but now we're not working any longer with those things which work death. We're working with Christ, okay, as I read earlier in Romans chapter 5, okay, that we are now redeemed to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, we have a new tethering. So here, this is our responsibility, verse 18 of Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit. And as we stand at the altar, we're watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay? And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Okay? That God will continue to unfold this mystery of Christ, because as God unfolds this mystery to me, okay, I unfold it to you. Okay? That's stewardship. Okay? The mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, the mystery of the unfolding, okay, has to do with your consistency, okay, and the knowledge of this stewardship. Okay, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in bonds. You know, the word ambassador is like a stewardship. And then, of course, the Apostle Paul finishes his letter there in Ephesians. The grace grace be with you, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Okay, which has to do with that, that the knowledge which I have granted to you and shared with you is profitable for your doxology, by which you exchange and communicate Christ to one another with. Okay, that is profitable because it's profitable because it's sanctified. If it wasn't sanctified, it would be not profitable. It would just be a form of knowledge without life. Of course, the Apostle Paul brings that out in Ephesians, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay, that knowledge apart from charity is fruitless. Okay, the knowledge has to be tethered to a power. Okay, if it's tethered to the power of God, then it works charity. But if the knowledge is tethered to the things of this world, okay, then it's dead knowledge. Okay, now back to Philippians here, chapter 3, as we go on here. Okay, we see that a form of righteousness, when he talks about the righteousness there in verse 9, he's talking about a new tethering and a new standard of measurement. Jesus Christ is the standard of our measurement, so he is our righteousness. Okay, when we use the moral code, the standard of measurement was by the oath of our own soul. Okay, and we would either accuse or excuse according to that measurement. Okay, but remember, we were prejudiced. Right? We were prejudiced because of sin. Okay, and everything of our perspective was based upon what we could control, what we could dominate, or what could we destroy. Okay, what we could set order to for increase for our own pleasure with. Okay, that was a tethering of death to death. Okay, for the moral code, because the moral code is connected to the flesh is connected to Satan and his perspective, his oath, and his ruling, according to the principalities and powers of the air, that we're now working the children of disobedience. Okay, but by the new knowledge of God, our souls are being circumcised from that influence, so that we take on a whole different perspective. Okay, that our life is not ruled by circumstances, ruled by faith. Okay, that's the righteousness which is of Christ, not the righteousness of the law. Okay, so that by that righteousness, okay, which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is God by faith, this is what we live by and what we are ruled by, the just walk by faith. Verse 10, that I may know him. So this is a knowledge here that has escaped the experience of the flesh, but is made readily for those that experience the things of the Spirit. Okay, and as Paul brings out again in Romans chapter 5, by tribulation patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Okay, so the Holy Ghost is bringing us a new experience. Okay, but we can see that this experience is coupled again with death. Okay, tribulation, patience, experience. Okay, and that by this coupling together, okay, we're able now to weigh the good and the evil, okay, which Paul also brings out in Hebrews 5, the last verse there of Hebrews 5:14. Okay, but solid foods or meat belongs to those who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good, both good and evil. Okay. So if you haven't ascended to that point yet, or stage of your growth yet, concerning discerning good and evil. Now, we're talking about good and evil based on a scale of moral code. We're talking about good and evil based on a scale of truth. Okay. Now, that takes growth. Okay. And the growth takes time. Okay? And time also, in frame of time, it takes your consistency of prayer. Okay? If you have a poor prayer life, I can guarantee it, you're going to have, your struggles are going to increase. Okay? And you'll be left behind. Okay. Because your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. Okay. Your circumcision is only valid, all right, through progression. Okay. But if you draw back, as God said, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews chapter 10, okay, around verse 39. It might be good to make a reference on that. Hebrews 10:39. Okay, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Okay, but we continue on to the saving of the soul. Okay, now the just shall live by faith. I'm Hebrews 10 right now. Hebrews 10:38-39. The just shall live by faith, and the just are those which are free from condemnation. We're free from condemnation of law, but where our liberty is to grace. Okay, we're free from condemnation of law, but liberty is with grace. But if you don't embrace the grace of God, okay, then you're free to unrighteousness. But if you embrace the grace of God, okay, okay, now you're free to righteousness and free from the law and unrighteousness. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Nay, God only takes delight in reflection of himself. When he looks in the mirror and he sees himself, nay, he says, now you are beholding him. Okay, when he beholds himself, you're beholding him. As long as you're beholding him, he is beholding himself. That's why he says in the prophets, behold me, behold me. Okay, continue to look upon me. Don't look upon Pharaoh. Don't look upon the circumstances. Look at me. Okay. verse 39, but we are not them who draw back unto perdition. Okay, that means to draw back means to cut off the tethering. How do you cut off the tethering? By not using the tools. What are the tools? Okay, prayer, preaching, prophecy, gifts, calling, grace of God, government, truth, and spirit. These tools of your priesthood are absolutely necessary, or else you'll be cut off because of unbelief. Okay, now the unbelief means more than just denying the existence of God. When the world hears the word unbeliever, okay, the first thing they think is concerning denying the existence of God. Okay, when the Apostle Paul used the word unbelief, he's talking about the absence of all contributing factors. Okay, of all the contributing factors which I just named to you, enumerated to you, concerning the gifts, the callings, grace of God, government, truth, spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, if these elements are weak and missing, then you fall under the same example of unbelief. Because not all that came out of Egypt by Moses entered in the promised land. Why? Because they fell because of unbelief. Why did they fall because of unbelief? They refused to labor to enter into the rest. Okay, they refused to take on themselves the yoke of the covenant. They didn't want responsibility to faith. Okay, the only thing they wanted was the promise, but they didn't want the responsibility of the covenant. Okay, and not only that, but they begin to chide with Moses, the steward. Okay, so those that chided with Moses, they perished. Those that refused responsibility to the covenant, they perished. Okay, we can see both incidents taking place. Okay, Moses, the son of Israelitish woman, okay, went out to gather sticks on a Sabbath day, for which commandment was given to them, you shall not labor on a Sabbath day, you shall rest. Okay, when he went out and collected sticks, he was in disrespect, okay, and affronted God's commandments. Okay, when they affronted Moses, they were affronting God. When they broke the commandments which Moses gave them, they were breaking God's commandments. And that's what Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they keep my sayings, they'll keep yours also. Okay, so everything, God set a token of himself within this dimension, to which if we deny the token, we deny the one that gave it. Okay. If you deny the stewardship, you deny the one that sanctified the stewardship. And so those that denied Moses, they perished. Those that denied the responsibility of the covenant, they perished. They all died because of unbelief. They refused to take on the responsibilities, okay, of the covenant. Okay. So now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, okay, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The tethering is broken. Okay, the tethering is broken at this point. But we are not of them who draw back and cut off the tethering, or make their circumcision invalid, unto perdition, okay, which is Satan's counsel. Destruction. Satan's counsel is always your destruction. Okay, if you lean to his counsel, you'll destroy your soul, because Satan's counsel will always stand in favor of your aspiration. That's why we have to replace our aspirations with faith. We have to replace our principle with truth. And we have to replace covetousness and the things of this world, okay, with temperance in all things. Okay, but them that believe to the saving of the soul, okay, if you labor under the yoke of the terms of this covenant, will your soul be saved. Now let's go back to Philippians here, as we are sacrifices ready. So the knowledge of him there, now in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10 of Philippians, that I may know him. This knowledge here is based upon the experience of your form of engagement. Okay, that God will reveal himself to you. But the revelation of the Spirit is always at the level of your growth. Okay, your experience that you have, it's always at the level of which God is engaging your growth with, as your level one dreams. Okay, God is showing you, this is why I'm circumcising from your heart. Okay, don't be in despair about this. Okay, but be consistent. Don't be sad. Be joyful. Okay, that I am your God. Okay, that I am holding your hand through the wilderness. Okay, I'm holding your hand through this experience. I haven't abandoned you. Okay, and this is what the Lord says also in Hebrews chapter 13. Okay, that your communication be without covetousness. For we know him that has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Okay, that is, as concerning in the form of your communication, the lifestyle, your choices of faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So here we see the word power, which has to do with the tethering of the angel. The tethering of the angel is confirming the living record now. Now, under Moses, the tethering of the angel worked with those things which work death. But now that Jesus rose from the dead, the tethering of the angel has to do with the living record, not the dead record, but the living record. So our faith is made living through Jesus Christ. Okay, the power of his resurrection, and we see the word fellowship. So highlight the word fellowship there in verse 10, which it has to do with an exchanging of substance. As you express charity, you're bridging the breaches of death through the exchanging of this substance and this new fellowship. When we were in the world, the motions of sin, our fellowship was with those things which were shame in the body. We're shamed in the body, which means we were nurturing the things of death. Okay, but now, because of Christ's circumcision, and we're exchanging charity, okay, according to Christ now, okay, we now are bridging this. Okay, we're bridging that chasm, okay, the chasm of death by the circumcision of Christ. Now our exchanging is that of life into life, faith into faith, grace into grace, okay, our righteousness into righteousness, holiness into holiness. Okay, now, and that our fellowship, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Isn't that interesting? You see the parallel in that. The parallel. Because of the presence of death, we now have life. Isn't that interesting how that can work that way? Through the presence of death, we now have life. But it's not death that's giving us life. It's because of his presence that we are choosing faith. And of course, here he says, conformable was death, remaining within the restrictions now of the terms of this covenant. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, which is the hope of Christ in these waters. In these waters. Because we were born in these waters. And it's only because of his presence down here that we are redeemed in these waters. Because we're going to receive a new baptism, not that of the water, but that of the fire, that we can enter into him. Verse 12, not as though I had already attained. That means as concerning that we haven't presently entered into this third covenant yet. Okay, but as he continues to prepare us for this, we are always in a preparatory stage. Okay, standing ready to enter into our inheritance. So what will the Lord do and if he returns and finds you unaware? Okay, or is your vessel going to be full of oil? Or is your vessel going to be empty of oil? could we only those whose vessel is full of oil, which means they have prepared themselves properly, okay, are they going to be able to enter into their inheritance, okay, as Jesus also spoke of in that parable. Okay, not as though I had already attained either already a perfect, okay, being perfect in body, because we still bury about the image of death, okay, but we carry the image of death in the flesh, but we carry the power of God in the soul. Okay, that's what we're rewarded for. We're rewarded on the conditions of what we bear within us, okay, and not that which we and not the vessel we're in. Okay, but we follow after. Okay, we remain tethered to the throne by the ministry of His Spirit. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that in this fullness. For that which also I'm apprehended of, what are we apprehended of? Christ Jesus. Okay, we overcome by Him only, okay, as we continue to reflect faith. Now he says here in verse 13, brethren, okay, he's identifying those of the stewardship. Again, he wasn't speaking in generic terms, okay, or contemporary terms. He wasn't speaking in the common language. Okay, this was not street lingo. Okay, street language of the time. Okay, he was speaking to those again under his immediate stewardship. You see, this is what we call like temple Hebrew or temple language. Okay, those which waited at the altar spoke the language of the altar. Okay, they had to speak the language, okay, of the temple, and that's what we do. We speak the language of the temple. Okay, so when he says the word brethren right here, he's speaking those that wait at the altar. Okay, the temple language. Okay, the language of those that live in the temple. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended as entering into that third covenant. Okay, but this one thing I do, presently, with the tools of this covenant, I'm forgetting those things by circumcising, forgetting those things which are behind of Moses' covenant. I can no longer build my confidence on those traditions, the genealogies of the flesh. Okay? The genealogies of the flesh, the carnal things which work fables. I'm forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth in those things which are before, I like that, reaching forth. I'm putting my hand on the altar. Putting my hands on the altar is reaching forth. Casting upon the altar the sacrifices of His knowledge, which is Christ. And as I continue to offer the sacrifices of His knowledge, okay, which has to do with the spiritual sacrifices of prophecy, as the Apostle Peter says there in 1 Peter, reaching forth in those things which are before. Okay, so we continue to, we're building now a future. Okay, we're building at this present time our future memorial, okay, a standing memorial in the bosom of God. Okay, and we can see this in the construction of the holy city in Revelation chapter 21. Okay, the destruction of the holy city, okay, has its construction and its levels and its foundations of the name of the apostles, as well as also the initials, okay, or the names of the 12 tribes of Israel and the gates. Okay, and every gate, okay, was a pearl. Okay, and the pearl, okay, was formed in that of a clam, okay, by the tongue of the clam. Okay, it has to do with that that which is we only enter into the kingdom of God by the language which He's provided for us. Okay, and that through suffering, remember the pearl was created, okay, in the mouth of the clam by the movement of the tongue, because the clam was uncomfortable with the grain of sand or whatever foreign matter was there. It continually moved it about, okay, and with the juices that would proceed from the clam, it would cover the object, the foreign object, and make it smooth. Okay, and it continually rolling it around there to keep it smooth, it would cause less and less agitation. Okay, and as you use the tools of the covenant, you can notice that the peace of God will rule in your heart. And we'll be reading about that in chapter 4. As the peace of God that passes all understanding, talks about as letting that rule you. Okay, the peace of God which passes all understanding should keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This is what we let these things rule us. To let the peace of God rule in our hearts. See, but the agitation is the agitation is necessary. The presence of death is necessary, okay, in order for us to exhibit our consistency and desire our fellowship with the living God. Okay, as the foreign matter was necessary in the clam, Okay, in order for that the pearl to be developed. So God is also developing a fruit within us, okay, by contrast, controversy, contradiction, conflict. Okay, the five C's, the breaches of peace are these gates of death. Now he says in verse 14, I press toward, okay, and we continue to labor for our rest. Okay, our rest is within him. Okay, but we must labor to enter at rest. Our responsibility is to work with the tools. Okay, and when we work with the tools, we rest from the agitations, okay, as the pearl and the clam. Okay, as the tongue of the clam continually works and puts the juices around it, and the juices begin to harden, okay, within a period of time, or about 3 months to 6 months, okay, as time passes anyway, okay, a pearl is developed. Okay, then it's extracted for the and put within okay, a divisibility of people that honor that, and that's the same thing God will do with us. He does that with us now, but He's going to do that physically. Okay, that we are that pearl of great price. Okay, according to God, okay, we are that pearl of great price, and He is going to openly exhibit us like a necklace of pearls before all His angels, and they're going to admire. Okay, God's patience and working within this. Okay. So I press toward the mark for the prize, the prize of that pearl. But the pearl, of course, has to do with our inheritance in the holy city. Okay, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, he says the word Christ Jesus. Now, saying this in this manner Paul's not trying to be poetic, but he's identifying that we overcome by the Spirit. As the gold overlays the wood, okay, in the construction of the altar, the Ark of the Covenant, the vessels of the ministry were designed with a frame of wood as the cross, but they were also overlaid with gold as the resurrection. Okay, that's why he uses these two elements. So I press toward the mark, okay, as concerning our heritage, okay, and the prize of the high calling. Okay, now high calling again has to do with that virtue being birthed within us, the praise of the glory of His grace. Now I read that earlier at Ephesians. Okay, Ephesians 1, 12 and 13. Okay, that we should be to the praise of the glory of His grace, who first trusted in Christ. Okay, so I press toward. Okay, as one that's going through the curtains, we press toward as one going to the curtains into the inner sanctuary. Right, and that we see the presence of God. Even the construction of that first the sanctuary, that first covenant, okay, identifies, okay, the struggles and the rewards of our faith today, okay, the spirit, soul, and the body, from the inward to the outward, okay, from the dismantling of the tabernacle and to the setting up of the tabernacle. Everything is by due order and protocol. The sons of Kohath, Gershom, and Merari, okay, each had the responsibility, okay, and their contribution to the whole, okay, as all the callings have their contribution to the whole. Okay, and all of us are working on the walls of the city, okay, or the temple. Okay, so I press toward the mark as we go through the curtains, okay, and we continue to be consistent toward the mark of the prize, okay, the reward of that pearl, of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, the high calling of that which is a spirit, okay, by which we overcome. So by him we overcome ourselves, Satan, and the world. In verse 15, let us therefore, in this manner, in this mindset, let us behave ourselves as sons of God in the courts of the Lord, knowing that the eye of the Lord is always present upon us and to reward our choices. Okay. So let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Now we must be perfect in our faith. That's the same language Jesus used to the Jews of the first century when he was speaking to those, the Hebrews of his time. He says, be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. You must reflect him. Okay, so when he says the word perfect right here, okay, he's not talking about as concerning the skeletal, the perfection of the skeletal, the outside, the outward. Okay, but that which is perfect, the inward in the soul. Okay, the inward of the soul, again, has to let your vessel be full of faith. Continue to press towards these things, okay, to work with these things. So let us, he says, all including those of this covenant, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, if you desire to be perfect in faith,
keep your vessel full. And let us be therefore thus minded, that the same goal, same perception. Okay, and if anything be any, and if anything be any otherwise minded, okay, in controversy, God shall reveal even this unto you, okay, in regards to your growth. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, he says in verse 16, that which you have received already, continue to embrace it, work with it, be patient and long-suffering, even as our Lord is patient and long-suffering toward us. So nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Okay, the word walk again, as we get ready to close here, the word walk again has to do with a form of agreement, okay, that we are laboring and walking in cadence with him by this knowledge. We live by knowledge. The animal kingdom lives by instinct. We live by knowledge. We are the higher forms. The lower forms, they live by instinct. Okay? But the higher forms live by holy knowledge. And we're living by the knowledge of God. That's why we're walking uprightly. So nevertheless, whereto we have already attained in this knowledge and experience of life, okay, as we continue to embrace Christ, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing.